Good morning, friends and brethren. So good to see you. Glad that each of you are here today, and good to see some visitors with us as well. Well, this lesson is one that I actually had thought about preaching last year when we were reading through the prophets. But there were some other lessons that came up at that time, and that just didn't happen. I didn't get all the thoughts pulled together, and so we're going to the book of Jeremiah today and looking at some thoughts there, and I'm sure there are going to be some repeated points today of some things that we studied and talked about as we're going through Jeremiah. And yet I'm hoping this will still be a lesson that is beneficial to us, helpful, asking the question, really, will we learn from history? That's the idea of this lesson. Will we learn from history? As a nation, as a people, I think we understand something to the point and the idea of the need of learning from history. If we fail to learn from history, we are doomed to make the same mistakes again. And certainly in Scripture, I believe that is the case. That is true as well. The idea that some struggle to find their way before God is not new to our generation. But it seems that man, from the inception of time, has had to make choices on which way to go and how to live our lives, and does he really want a relationship with God? And there's a resistance that many put up when it comes to living a life that is submissive to God. And that's what's required, a submissiveness on our part to live in a way that is right and pleasing to him. And it's not that God has failed to provide direction for a way of life, because we have page after page of direction on how God would want us to live. We have the record in his word. But the problem is willingness in the heart of men to be so moved by God that we would surrender our hearts to him. Never is that more true than during the life and the times of the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah records a detailed account of the attitude of many long ago who refused God's counsel, who rejected him, and consequently moved further and further into a spiritual abyss as they lost their way. And again, the problem was not with God's direction, because it was there, it was given. And so the problem can only be viewed as self-inflicted, a selfish desire to feed one's own desires and hungers, and an unwillingness to listen and to follow God. When we went through our reading of the prophets, it was pretty evident that there's a lot that we know about Jeremiah. In fact, more known about him perhaps than any of the historical prophets. He began prophesying in his youth during the reign of King Josiah. And though he was a reluctant prophet, not wanting the role, not wanting that responsibility, and even as time went on, problem upon problem that he had to deal with, you would think at times that he would have just quit it all, but he couldn't. Because as Jeremiah chapter 20 would tell us, and as he would say, there was a fire in his bones. The word of God, the will of God, that he just couldn't leave it alone. He couldn't walk away from it, and he could not stop telling others about it. Jeremiah prophesied for about 50 years. Now, when Josiah was king, there was that period of time where there were some great reformations made among the children of Israel. Josiah was a good king and worked to bring Israel closer and closer to the way and the will of God. If you're in the book of Jeremiah now, look at chapter 25, and you need to get to Jeremiah because that's where we're going to be. In Jeremiah chapter 25, We can understand some things here about what Jeremiah was facing. The reforms were made by Josiah to bring worship back and try to draw people close to God. But you know, the reforms never got to the heart of people. They were doing a lot of the right things, but their heart was not in the right place. They were going through the motions. When Josiah was no more and some other wicked kings came in place, they forgot quickly the reforms that Jeremiah had put in place. Jeremiah 25, we're going to start reading at verse 3. For 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, The word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways, your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not follow the other gods to serve and worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have provoked me with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. That's what was penned in the days of Jeremiah. And this was the attitude of the people. And God was upset. It was not because he had not given his word and direction, but the people would not listen. And so Jeremiah is the prophet in this time. There are other prophets too, but Jeremiah is the one we're following right now. And the Jews opposed Jeremiah and his work from the very onset. There never seemed to be a period of time where the people were willing to listen to what Jeremiah had to say. Even the citizens of his own native land, where he was from, attempted to kill him. And Jehovah God warned Jeremiah about this and promised retribution because of it. Even his own people, as in his kinfolk, his family, were opposed to him and betrayed him. And later when Jeremiah moved to Jerusalem, well, he faced opposition there too. To live for God is tough in a wicked world. And it doesn't matter if that's in the day of Jeremiah or if it's today. There are problems that we will face if we try to live as God's people. If we try to stand out as different, we will find ourselves often standing alone, even as Jeremiah did long ago. And even if you're a prophet of God, it's still hard to stand alone. And like we said, when King Josiah died, Jeremiah lamented the death of Josiah. And the successors of Josiah were wicked men. Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim and Jeconiah were the kings that followed. And they reversed all of the good that Josiah had put in place. And at the Lord's direction, Jeremiah dictated prophecies to his scribe, Baruch, and wrote them on a scroll. And when they came into the hands of Jehoiakim, do you remember what he did with that scroll? You remember when he took the scribe's knife? And as he read the scroll, God's word as it was revealed to him, he took it, he cut it in pieces and threw it in the fire. That was the attitude of the king. He was not a leader for God's people, but would be one that would lead them astray. So the life of Jeremiah was one of sorrow upon sorrow. His people that he loved, with whom he pleaded unceasingly for 50 years, continually refused to hear him. And they rewarded his labor with rejection, with persecution. They tried to kill him. And the people would eventually perish as a result of their unwillingness to listen. In chapter 8 of Jeremiah, we're going to begin reading here at verse 18. Chapter 8 and verse 18. Oh, my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer here? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a lodging place for travelers, so that I might leave my people and go away from them, for they are all adulterers, a crowd of unfaithful people. And we attribute the words to Jeremiah and his sadness in the state of his people. But could you not hear the Lord saying those words? There's some question in my mind even, is that just the words of the Lord, or is that the words of Jeremiah as these words were penned for us? You can feel the pain that is expressed. It's hard to live a righteous life in a wicked world. It's hard to see friends and family and even a nation that walks in the path of unrighteousness. But you know, that kinship with those who were his people, his family, his nation, did not stop Jeremiah from preaching what needed to be preached. His relationships with others did not slow him up or change at all what needed to be said, and he preached it, even though it wasn't received. And the relevancy of this prophecy, a prophetic preaching, is amazing to me. Because there's so much that we can see and read about through the book of Jeremiah, written 2,500 years ago, that describes matters and issues prevalent in our day. You would think it was written to our nation, to our people, to us today. And you can't help but wonder if man has not really changed at all. And so even in this day of enlightenment, as we sometimes say, many are still walking in the dark. When Jeremiah described the impending fury of God's judgment that would come upon Judah, he explained God's reason for the desolation that he promised. But they walked according to the imagination of their own heart and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Jeremiah 9 and verse 14. And so the destruction that would come, it's clear why. It's easy to understand why it would come. That they had moved so far away from God, that they had disregarded everything that God had to say. They were doing exactly opposite of what God counseled them to do. And so for there to be destruction that would come should have been no surprise. And yet again, if God were speaking today through a modern prophet to our nation, he could describe some of the same attitudes, because it seems history repeats itself. And the greater question for us is, will we learn from history? And there's so much spiritual application here to be made. Jeremiah wrote of a time when there was no delight in God's word. It was not that the Lord had failed to give instruction or warning. His word was not beyond their understanding. It was just that they found no pleasure. You know, sometimes we hear something that we don't want to hear. We just try to ignore it. We tune it out. We act as though the words were never said. But that doesn't change what was said. And it was that way with Judah. Never could they say that, well, we've not heard of this problem. We didn't know. We weren't sure how to live. No, they couldn't say any of that, because God had been so very specific to them. The Lord had not failed to give instruction and warning. They were ignorant by their own choice. Their ears were uncircumcised, Jeremiah penned. We're looking at chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. So you see, sometimes when we hear things that we don't like, we just turn it off. We find no pleasure in it, and so we try to ignore it. It doesn't change the fact that it was spoken. And when the words come from God, we certainly cannot ignore it and just pretend it wasn't said. Even if we forget that it was said, God will not. He knows what he has said. To refuse God's word is to refuse life. This was much of the message that Jeremiah was trying to deliver. That God was offering life to those who would be his people. He was also offering destruction for those who disobeyed. We should think of God's words as that which brings us life. The disciples of Jesus, some of them at least understood that. They understood the benefit of the words that Jesus was preaching, but when Jesus preached something hard in John chapter 6, you might recall, there were those disciples who turned and walked with him no more, verse 66 says, John chapter 6. In verse 67, Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And it was Simon Peter who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." It's the words of the Lord that should have the greatest meaning and impact on us because those words offer life. God's words have always been just that way and recorded for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us why these words are given, why they are written down for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is available to all, particularly in this country. No one can really make an honest excuse that they have no opportunity to know what the Lord has to say. And there are willing teachers eager to help the uninformed to know the will of God. And yet we find ourselves asking, maybe like Jeremiah did, "To whom shall I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me?" This is what Jeremiah was saying. He's putting his hands up and he's saying, "I'm trying. I'm going out and I'm speaking. I'm going everywhere. I am proclaiming the word of God. Who will listen to me?" And for 50 years of preaching, as we look at the life of Jeremiah, it appears no one was listening. It was not that they did not have the ability to hear. It seems they did not have the desire to understand and obey. Today, sometimes, it's hard to find a Bible student. It's hard to find someone that's willing to sit down and study the Bible with you. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, even among those that we call our brethren, those we have fellowship with, it's hard to find those who really want to study the Bible. I'm just being frank about it. It's hard to find those who really want to look at the Word of God and who have a thirst for it so much so that they are going to seek it out. It's hard to find that. And there's a lot of evidence for that. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. You visit around a different place, different churches, hold some meetings in different places. I see some of the same things everywhere I go. And sometimes it's those who've been a Christian for a long time that seem to know the least, that have made no real effort or desire to come to know the meat of the Word, who have done very little in the way of study to come to a greater understanding of what Scripture says and what God would have us do and how He would want us to live, even among our own attendants. Let's get personal for a minute. Even among our own numbers sometimes, you know, you look at the difference of attendance on Sunday morning to Sunday night. I understand age and health issues. I understand there's a distance of miles for some of us. I get that. But even among our own number, you know, those who are just here sometimes, it's hard to understand. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to paint with a broad brush here for a moment. But you know, in a study with someone the other night, we were talking a little bit about such things, and I said, you know, I know part of it's because I'm getting old and I've had more experience these days. I get that. But you know, it gets to where it's not so hard to sometimes know and understand those who are going to fall away. Because the signs are all there. Not good attendance. They miss a lot. They're not in Bible classes. They're not growing in the Word. And when issues of life come, they fall. They have nothing to stand on. Jeremiah was preaching to those who were considered to be the people of God. That was God's plan. They still considered themselves to be the people of God, but they had fallen and they were just falling deeper as time went. Because they had nothing on which to stand. They did not know God's Word. They were unwilling to listen to Him. It was not that just some things slipped by them. No, that may have been the case initially. But now they have come to a point where they don't even want to hear what God has to say. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled." And the ones to whom Jeremiah is speaking of whom he's speaking of, there was no hunger for righteousness. They had hungers, they had desires, but none of it was in God. Ignorance is our own fault. We can lay blame on no one else, and we will pay a price, whether in this life or that to come. We will pay a price if we choose to be ignorant and separated from God. And we look at the lack of interest in God's Word in the eyes of so many, and it makes us weep, just like Jeremiah. Jeremiah made a statement about those who are given to covetousness. I mean, why is there such indifference to spiritual matters? Now, usually when we meet people and we're trying to maybe get studies with people and try to broach spiritual things, you know, it's not so much an atheistic rejection of God. Oh, from time to time you might meet that, but I find hardly ever that's the issue. But it is. Oh, we're just too busy. Well, I would come on Sunday, but I've got these other things to do. Or I wouldn't mind having a study when my kids get through with soccer or whatever it is. There's always excuses. Busyness is just a major problem. But busy is not just a problem of the world. It's a problem for us too. Hence issue we talked about a moment ago, you know, missing services a lot and not in Bible studies regularly. It takes us to point number two. We find ourselves so busy and so caught up with matters and issues of this life that we get caught up in that, really, the busyness of life. And it's been said before numerous times, but as a society, I'm afraid that we are plagued with monetary comforts to the point that it seems to become that we believe that these are all necessities of life. The comforts that we have and the recreational opportunities that we have, we've begun to view those things as necessities. And we have to have these things. And if that means we have to work more and more hours just to get these extras in life, so be it. And what so often falls to the side is spiritual interests. It's not wrong to have nice things. But when our time is consumed wanting and acquiring such things, then that's a problem. Too often, much of our busyness is related to the desire for gain, those kind of issues, self-inflicted. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. So here's the view from Jeremiah of his own people, that at least this was part of the problem that he was dealing with, that there was such greed. People had such a view of things that they want, there was not room left for what they really needed, which was relationship with God. And it even affected the prophets and the priests. I mean, the spiritual leaders who were the ones who were supposed to be trying to pull Judah in a direction toward God, well, they were just as caught up in it, greedy for gain. And this is what was helping to move them so far away from where they needed to be. Well, what about the religious people of today? Is it a problem for us? It always has been. It always has been a problem. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It was not the riches of themselves that was the problem. It's what became the attitude toward those riches. Not just in the time of the Apostle Paul in this writing, but in the day of Jeremiah and throughout time. It's tough to be able to keep a focus on what's most important. It's tough to have blessings and riches in perspective of what life really needs to be. Today, too busy is the excuse of the lost. And so often, too busy is what keeps us just our lives so complicated. Whether it's working extra hours so that we can have what we think are the necessities of life, or involved in those aspects to the point that we don't have time for spiritual things. Too busy is the excuse of the lost. Too busy will lead us to hell. That's what too busy will do for us. We weep as Jeremiah did for those consumed in material want. And maybe such a reminder will help us to look at ourselves. There are many who find a false sense of security. It's not here hard to hear whatever you want to hear in the realm of religion. From all kinds of religious leaders, you can hear what you want to hear, and you can feel very secure in what you hear and what you believe. Whether there's a shred of truth to it or not in the eyes of God, you can basically these days be saved by any means that you choose, at least according to some religious teachers today. There are those who propose the idea that you can live and choose to live any lifestyle that you want and God will accept you just as you are. And that's what many promote. There are many who say God is love. He will take you just as you are, even to the point that some will say it doesn't even matter what you believe. As long as you obey, as long as you love God, everything will work out fine. All of the ideas are very prominent in our day and in our time. And there are those who will believe that judgment won't even come. You can hear whatever you want to hear. But we need to beware, because the professional prophet of our day can draw flattering pictures and say soothing things that makes us want to think and believe that judgment won't come to us. Jeremiah chapter 5. Are you looking with me? Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12. They have lied about the Lord, they said. He will do nothing. No harm will come to us. We will never see sword or famine. The prophets are but wind, and the word is not in them. So let what they say be done to them. Verse 30. A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? It's easy to listen to flattering words. It's easy to listen to those who say and preach and prophesy about things that seem appealing to us. And it sure is nice to hear someone say, it doesn't really matter how you live, judgment's not going to come to you anyhow. It's nothing new. And that's what Jeremiah was facing so long ago. There are those who say, peace, peace, when there is no peace, he says in chapter 6. That's what the false prophets say. Peace, peace. It's nice to be able to believe that, but it's false. It's not right. It's easy to paint a comforting picture that there are no problems with living whatever manner of life we so choose. But if God says there's a problem, then there really is a problem. Man has always liked to hear soothing words of comfort rather than condemning words of reproof. You know, it is easier on the conscience to ignore narrow-minded prophets and to turn to the ones who preach what we love to hear. It's easy to turn away from those that we think are narrow-minded preachers and those who have such a narrow view of Scripture. It's easy to turn away from those and to listen to those who are just saying what we want to hear. What did Paul say about it? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, he said to Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. Oh, that's easy. Yeah, that's easy to do. And there are plenty of deceiving doctrines to be pulled away with and be pulled away from. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and see, verse 9 begins. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deception of unrighteousness in those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Someone said, you sure sound judgmental. I said, well, I'm just reading the book. It is judgmental. But let's understand God is the one making the judgment. That's what He has to say about it. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to do something with that? It's hard to break through those who are self-satisfied in their own doctrinal security. And it makes us weak. Just like Jeremiah did. And those who are ashamed of their own sins, not ashamed of their own sins. Judah had no shame. There was no disgrace at all. And when the standards of right and wrong are set by what everyone else is doing, when we become our own standard, there's going to be some problems. Man becomes completely insensitive to God's displeasure. And we have to ask ourselves, are we even concerned at all about what God thinks of these things? In our text, Jeremiah again. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen, and they will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. And what about in our day? Moral conduct in our nation has been, it seems from my perspective, on a steady decline. I think others are feeling that way too. And when you consider where so many stand on moral issues and their view on God's judgments of such things, it's hard to see. It's painful to see. And it makes us weep like Jeremiah. For some, God's word is looked at as irrelevant. And it's not the standard for most. And how long before God brings judgment on this nation? Even as Jeremiah said, they will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. God has a view on judgment, and we should know and understand. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. And to this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. There are many who are not willing to seek the ancient paths. That is the way of God. The Lord has held out the way to find rest for your souls, he says. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, we close with this passage. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. That was the attitude that Jeremiah was dealing with. And it's the attitude of so many today. God gave direction in life. He gave instruction on which way to go. But so many reject the doctrines of what God has delivered to us. We have to be the ones who reject the doctrines of men. We have to be the ones who reject the ideas and the fables of men and turn to those ancient paths. That is the way of God, to follow the good way and walk in it, because only there we can find rest for our soul. Rest in this life, there's comfort to be found when you know that you stand right in the eyes of God. There's comfort to be found when you know that salvation has been given by God, and we've responded to that offer. There's comfort to be found when we know that our sins have been washed away, and that when we walk through life and we face issues, we face trials, that we know that we can again repent of sins and turn to Him for forgiveness. That's the comfort we should know. And we can. And I trust that you do. But if there is anyone who needs to respond to the gospel today, becoming a child of God, or turning your life around as a Christian, going in a better direction, following the will of God, can we help you to do that? Can we encourage you? Would you come now as we stand and sing?